Thank you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In this exclusive podcast, Jesse and I talk about his decision to leave Boston and his family to travel and to hike, his love of the Southwest, and how Hike the Good Hike is becoming a not-for-profit to help raise mental health awareness by connecting people to nature.
You know, I've been hiking a lot ever since, and I've been taking bigger leaps ever since. You know, it took me a little while, but I finally got out of the Boston area, which wasn't easy. My family's there. My best friends are there. But I started recognizing that I needed to put myself in a better place to really flourish at what I wanted to do, to be inspired. You can't talk about the woods and the wilderness and nature if you're surrounded by buildings. You're not going to find that passion for it. After this, you know, I've got some hiking coming up, but I'm closely approaching 10,000 miles hiked since my first steps off of the Appalachian, off of Springer Mountain on the Appalachian Trail. And around that has been this build of Hike the Good Hike, which again is a mantra, but now we're taking the steps towards becoming a nonprofit. And by doing so, I've got a great team behind me, and we've been putting the work in, and I'm, as the nonprofit, I want to be a charitable foundation. I want to use my hiking to raise money and awareness for other programs in the country that could use some help. And so this July 1st is my first big step towards doing this kind of work, where I'm partnering with a nonprofit organization out of New England called the Youth Mental Health Project. And I'm going to be using a 1,300-mile hike, the last 1,300 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail, starting on July 1st, to bring awareness and to fundraise for their organization.
Wow, that's great. You know, mental health is something that is such a serious issue. I was doing a little digging around on the web the other day, and I was stunned by some of the statistics. 1 out of 5 Americans in any given year is dealing with mental illness. Mm-hmm. That's astonishing.
Yeah. The thing is, and I've been talking about this a lot with the people that I'm working with now, is that we're not treating it like physical health. You know, we're not treating it like cancer or other diseases. You know, there are no pink ribbons for mental health. Yes, we just had Mental Health Awareness Month, which is great. I mean, we're certainly stepping in the right direction, and there's certainly a lot of good people out there putting work in, but it's just not there yet. It's not at the place that it needs to be, because if you really dive into those statistics, you're going to see the alarming rate of suicidal thoughts and mental health illness in children. I mean, even thinking back when I was a kid, you never heard of kids 10, 11 years old attempting or killing themselves. And now, if you really dive in, it's pretty tough. It's tough to swallow when you see these stats. And if that's not a cry for help, I don't know what is. If that's not a cry for more, I don't know what is. And so we need more attention. We need advocates to kind of keep stepping up and putting the work in and getting to the people that can really help us get our voice out there and not just ask for it, but demand it.
And we need to remove the stigma. There's a stigma associated with a lot of mental health issues, and that's unfair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, you said it great. I mean, the stigma around it's just as alarming. You know, you're it's leading people to think that they shouldn't, if they talk about it, if they admit it, then they're showing weakness. And that's the stigma. You know, I can only focus on it as a man. It's troubling for both all genders, right? But as a man, you know, so many young adults, young men are raised to think about being tough and not letting these things kind of overtake their lives. And that's troubling, right? I mean, that's a very big problem when they're afraid to say that I'm depressed because they're afraid that they're going to be judged for it. And that's still a thing that's happening even in 2021, is that we're still there, you know? I use that term often, that it should never be used when you hear someone say toughen up. Not okay. It's not okay. Because young minds develop that and think that's the way that life is supposed to be. And that's really, truly, I mean, I'm so fortunate and glad to be here. But I never spoke up, right? It took me 40 years. And as a matter of fact, it took me longer than 40 years to speak up. I didn't tell my family and friends that I was suicidal until 2 years after I finished the Appalachian Trail. I was still in that place where I was embarrassed to say it out loud. Yeah.
And what kind of reaction did you get from them?
This is an important part of this conversation. They were taken aback by it. And specifically for my folks, it's still hard for them to hear it. You know, like I speak about it and I write about it, but they have a hard time listening to that because no one ever wants to hear that their kid was contemplating suicide, right? But they were so supportive and so happy. And I get this reaction a lot. I wish I could have helped. And that's the thing, right? Is that we believe that if we say it out loud, it's going to be the opposite reaction, that you're going to be judged for it. And that, you know, like you just think there's going to be so much negativity coming from saying that out loud. Whereas in reality, and this isn't for everybody, but you're probably going to get a pretty positive result as far as loved and embracing and wanting to do what they, you know, what anybody can to help somebody who's in that position. And, you know, that's part of my work is to kind of show people that it's okay to peel the layers back and then to kind of put those layers out there to the people that can help you. Now, another important part about this is that with me, I had all this love in my life, right? I got to that point in my party where I was like taken aback by how much love was in my life. And it made me realize that taking my life could be a selfish thing. But there are a lot of people out there that don't have that. You know, there are a lot of people out there have nowhere to turn. There's not that abundance of love in their life. There might not even be, you know, a family for them to turn to. And so this is just as important why the work needs to be done, and we have to create more, and there have to be people, the advocates who want to create these organizations or want to put more into these nonprofits organizations, because we have to give people a safe place to come when they don't know where to turn. And of course, for me, I feel like the best way for me to grow as an advocate and to do my part is to tell my story and to say, hey, you can be brave enough, you know, you can take these leaps and you can find somebody, even if it's me. I'm always saying, if you have nowhere to turn, reach out to me, email me through my website or reach out to me through social media. I'll give you some time just to talk, because opening up, there's nothing like it. You know, it's a weight off your shoulders. When I was able to finally say I was suicidal, I remember just thinking like this massive breath came out of me in a good way. Like, I finally can say it, you know, I can finally be honest about where I was. And then it was like, and wow, this reaction, you know, not just from the people in my life, but how about all the people that aren't in my life that just read something I wrote or saw something that I posted on social media and messaged me to say, I needed to hear that. I've been in this place. I don't know how to get out of it. And it's like, how can that not almost in a way be addictive when you get that response that you want to keep telling the story? You want to create, you know, a nonprofit and a platform where others can tell their story so we can keep doing the work to make people feel safer about talking about their mental health illness.
You know, it takes courage to make that leap into a totally different world, which you did. And I'm fascinated by people who manage to do that, because I think it's a relatively small proportion of our population that really is willing and capable of making these leaps. How do we help people to do that?
Well, kind of like what I just said, right, is we have to grow. We have to grow our audience. One, we have to put the work in. I'm constantly doing this. I'm speaking about my story and the things that I think that we need to do better, whether it's actually speaking it out loud or writing about it, or now I'm actually, you know, getting into the speaking game where I'm speaking to large groups of people. Because if I talk to 100 people, there might be 5 to 10 people in there that truly needed to hear that and might have the ability to help Hike the Good Hike grow, or might give them the ability to kind of come to me or someone else and speak out loud, because they can say, this guy did it and look at him. You know, the story has to be real. This is one thing that I keep learning, which I love, is that when you tell your story, even with all the courage and everything behind it, you really have to tell it. You've got to be authentic, because people need to see the reality of it, right? Not just like, I don't know, sometimes you hear people and they just don't sound true to what they're telling. But I think if you're just so passionate about the understanding of how excited you are that you found a way to live, but also the passion and the excitement that you have an opportunity to maybe help other people step in the direction that you did, I think it's pretty easy to kind of grow your audience and be true to your message and true to yourself. I've been kind of stubborn in this whole growth of Hike the Good Hike. I've had people a couple years ago, you know, kind of tell me I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And what I've always said is it's hard for me to follow that kind of direction when I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with Hike the Good Hike, because I'm still figuring out my own journey. I'm still figuring out my own story. It's not done yet. I'm not there yet. You know, it would be unfair, I think, to me and Hike the Good Hike if I said, okay, I'm just going to settle for this, even though I'm not sure this is what I want to do with it. Because I think with something that you're so passionate about, and you believe can be so helpful to the world, that you shouldn't really put it in a place until it's truly evolved. And now that it's evolving and you know, we're taking on this big project this summer, and like my sponsors are on board, you know, like, I haven't talked about that, but I mean, I have a ton of sponsors. I have, you know, companies that are getting behind me, that are passionate about getting about it, excited. They're excited about getting into the mental health game. When you say, how can we do it? Right now is the time. You know, certainly any time is a good time to do something that can be so helpful for the world. But we've just gone through a year and a half where it's really exposed mental health illness, right? We have gone through some harsh, harsh things, not just in our country, in our world. And it's really shown how fragile the mind can be for so many, not just youth, but all of us are struggling. And so now is the time to strike. And I think there are going to be more companies, organizations, government that are going to be more willing to kind of get on board with this. I mean, if you don't, you've got some problems there, because there's no way you can turn mental health around, right? Like, there's no way you can take these statistics and try to prove them wrong. They are what they are. This is what we're facing. And the best thing we can do is we can kind of dig our heels in and keep pushing forward and spreading our message and talking about this out loud and taking away the stigma and helping. And I think by doing that, we're going to make a lot of leaps and bounds are going to be made in the next year or two in terms of the way mental health is focused on in our country.
We need to open it up as a conversation, and a safe conversation, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going to take a slight tangent here. I want to read something that you wrote that I just loved. And I think it occurred when you were hiking White Sands.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote, "Beauty is what the land breathes into me, life. It's a constant reminder to me, a man who not so long ago did not believe life was worth living."
I mean, your audience can't see it, but it gets me emotional, you know? I've come a long way. I've come a long way because, you know, 6-7 years ago wasn't that long ago. And there was just constant thought all the time about wanting to end my life, you know? And so whether it's White Sands, Great Sands Dune National Park, Yosemite, whatever trail I'm hiking, you know, I'm always take the moment, you know, to just kind of let it embrace me, my surroundings. She's so beautiful, this world, you know, she has so much to give. That's my job now, is to show people she has so much to give. And with Hike the Good Hike, and this is an important thing to tell you, is that it's not about hiking. You know, for me it is. That's what I enjoy most about it. But, you know, it's about getting out and just kind of enjoying the surroundings. I talk often a lot about being home recently in Massachusetts, and I was in Lincoln Woods, which is Thoreau's backyard. It's where he did his writing, in Walden Pond. And there was a day I was out for a little trail run, and I saw some hikers, and I saw a woman on horseback on the trail. I saw an old couple, maybe in their 80s, kind of sitting in their chairs on the water, just looking out, taking it in. I saw bird watchers, and I saw some guy with a little canvas painting nature. And I just remember thinking to myself, look at all these people hiking their good hike. We're all getting the same thing out of this. We're all doing this because we know it brings us joy, or we all know that it's a place where we can come and we can have the conversations that are tough to have when our surroundings aren't so beautiful. So everybody has their hike, you know, or maybe they don't. And it's just time to discover it, because I had to discover it. I didn't know that hiking was this, but hiking hit me like a running train. You know, it hit me in a way that it breathes just such life into me every time I'm in it. And so I've come a long way. And I think it's a story that needs to be told, and I'm going to keep telling it as long as I can.
Nature is so powerful. It's beautiful. It's overwhelming. It's threatening. And I think most of all, it puts us in our place in a good way.
I mean, right? I mean, I was just up Taos, New Mexico the other day. I got this crazy photograph of a lightning bolt. You couldn't see the lightning bolt, but you could see the flashes in the clouds over the mountains. And I thought to myself, whew, how little we are to this big, big world. Right? And man, if you can't just kick back and take it all in and realize that, you're missing out. Open your eyes, really, open your eyes.
No, it's not about ego. It's about the experiential things mm-hmm. that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to just get out and do them. Easier said than done. But I think being out in nature particularly is, I think it's the experience of a lifetime. You know, I've done the international big city thing and all that, but I think the most meaningful thing I have ever done relates to the outdoors, no mm-hmm. question about it. For me, it was flying, soaring, but you know, I hike, I like to kayak. All those things that put you in touch with the earth really are just, they just dissolve the kind of human frustrations mm-hmm. that we run into.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a conundrum for me, right? It's that we're out there so often, especially out here in the Southwest, and there's such mass open land. And sometimes you can go as long as you want without even seeing another human. And that's really nice, right? To have it to yourself sometimes. I was down in Mambi Hot Springs on the Rio Grande yesterday. I had the hot springs to myself. I was shocked. There's always people down there, but it was all mine. And I think to myself, man, how nice. Because I feel like I get my best thinking done when I'm in solitude of nature. But I also want more people to enjoy it, you know? So it's like, I like having it. But man, sometimes I just wish that more people would kind of get out into it and embrace that and let it kind of breathe into you. I think we're a big enough world where we don't have to crowd each other doing that.
What have been some of your favorite hikes, your favorite locations?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm a massive fan of the Southwest for sure. I love being up in the Taos area, hiking along the Rio Grande. Colorado is an absolute special place. I thru-hiked the Colorado Trail a couple of years back, and you know, the San Juan Mountain Range is mind blowing. But you know, Montana, Glacier National Park, just the abundance of wilderness and wildlife. There's just a lot of special places. I think if you really like make me say it, and it's funny enough, but there's this section in Maine on the Appalachian Trail called the 100-Mile Wilderness, and it's just emerald green and moss, and it's called the 100-Mile Wilderness because there's no road crossings. It's just a stretch of 100 miles where walk in, make sure you have enough food because you're not going to have the options to get any more until you get out of that 100-mile stretch. But it's almost like being in the movie Lord of the Rings in that place. It's just the only color other than green you see is just the brown of the trail, and everything else, all the rocks, the trees have just moss, bright green moss growing all over them. And it's quiet and peaceful, and there are brooks and rivers running through there. And again, it's just one of those places that brings you to a moment of just thinking to yourself, I'm so lucky to be here to experience this.
You've given up a traditional life, which isn't easy to do in our society. What advice would you have for somebody considering something along those lines?
Well, I mean, you have to understand that you got to really simplify your life, you know, sell off a lot of your stuff, put some stuff in storage. You know, for me, for the most part, if I'm not hiking, I am traveling in my vehicle, which I sleep out of. It gives me the ability to get to a lot of amazing, beautiful places, but you know, I, like you said, I mean, I'm a single man. I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I'm now finally seeing the door opening to a career behind Hike the Good Hike, but it hasn't been that way for a while. So I had to pick up, you know, odd jobs here and there, mostly bartending, but I wash dishes. Like, I'll do whatever it takes to put a little money in my pocket to make sure I can hike or get some gas. You have to understand that it's more about your surroundings and the places that this allows you to get than anything that in terms of thinking of materialistic, right? I've lost the materialistic ways. You know, I am a jeans, t-shirt kind of guy. Literally, I might have one or two nice shirts for special occasions. I live out of the vehicle. Everything's in there. I can jump in my truck whenever I want and take off. And that's because of what it feeds me. You know, it's more about paying attention to what it does for your mind and your soul than what society tells us should be your life. And it's not a knock against, you know, I make sure to tell people, I don't knock people who want to have a big house with a white fence and the family. That's beautiful too. There are moments that I'm lonely, you know, this can be a very lonely way of living. You know, even though I have all this beauty around me, you know, sometimes it's hard to not have a companion there to take it all in with. You know, there's a lot of sacrifice in life for this. I have to recognize that every day, and I have to keep my eye on the big picture of what I'm trying to accomplish. And I have to believe that it will lead to good things. I may be a bit older, but I feel great. I'm healthy. And that if I keep working hard with Hike the Good Hike, it will provide whatever it's supposed to provide. I don't even know what that is. That's another thing. I don't create what I hope will be, you know, my life down the road. I don't have, like, if there's a 5-year plan in my life, it has everything to do with Hike the Good Hike. But I don't try to plan out anything else. I don't say, man, I hope I'm married or I have a companion by this time. I have this such a belief system in that nature and the universe came and got me when I wanted to live, and it has a plan for me.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.